Oh, there's going to be spoilers all up in this bitch, because, you know, we're just discussing the movie.
Spoiler alert!
Yeah, yes.
Especially when we get to talking about...
The end?
The end.
Which is very important.
Is it the end? Because it seemed like a beginning...
of a different movie, yes! Okay, so...
the
maybe...
beginning of a new concept of humanity.
Right. The apocalyptic ending that completely does not understand what sorts of horrors it implies.
Yeah. I was looking at the IMDb forums for Chappie, because, you know, I'm a masochist.
Yes.
And a lot of people are like, I don't like this movie! That Yolandi and Ninja, they seem like thugs.
Yes. Yes.
Or that they made them look like thugs.
They made them look like thugs. It's like,
Yeah, that was them. They had so much input on this movie. Which is why if anybody asks me, my first question is, do you like D'Antwoord? Because that kind of will skew everything else about it.
Yeah.
True.
And then a lot of the reviews that complain about weird elements do seem to be from people who, like, don't get it or don't, you know, don't have any idea what that's about.
From what I know of Zeph culture, which is to say D'Antwoord.
Yes.
It seems pretty authentic. I don't think they were acting.
No, well, that's still the hard part is, like, are they, you know, this is suddenly not a discussion about Chappie, it's a discussion about D'Antwoord. Are they an art installation or are they serious?
Because they were something else prior to being D'Antwoord.
Yes, yes. Max Normal TV was I believe, Wadi Tudor Jones, I think, is his actual
name.
That
is his actual name, and hers is, like, Henri Dutoit.
Yeah, yeah.
And is she, well, oh.
She's South African.
Well, yeah, they're
yeah. I was thinking,
South
I was
African,
like,
yeah.
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 Yeah, which is interesting. Like, look up Max Normal TV. And try to wrap your head around the fact that those are the same two people in D'Antwoord. Like,
we'll link this in the show notes.
Yes.
I did love the brightly colored guns and, like, their pad.
Yeah.
All the artwork everywhere.
Yeah. And mostly, I think, like, you know, just kind of talking about that, my favorite thing about them being in the movie is that they did not at all go out of their way to, like, portray themselves in a good light,
because
like they're kind of bad at fighting and he's just kind of an awful person throughout the whole thing, and she's like, you know, even though she gets the closest to, like, the sort of, you know, put on a pedestal, it's still like she's a bad mom. But, you know, but she is, like, one of the few sympathetic characters in the entirety of the whole thing.
Yeah.
I did adore Chappie's mannerisms that he picked up from them.
Yes.
Well, it's like, well, I never knew what it would look like to see a robot strut, I guess.
Yeah. Strut with a gangsta limp.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck mother!
Yes.
Again, people are like, well, you know, this is a very South African movie. Yeah, because Americans totally can't understand an action movie with lots of gun violence set to, like, a rap soundtrack.
Right. I still love that only the one lead gangster fellow, the antagonist, is the only one that they subtitled.
Yes.
Even though Hugh Jackman is completely incomprehensible for most of the movie.
I want this! I want that money! I want the robot! He never got out of that stage.
Somebody else was talking about that, and they were kind of saying, like, it must have been one person in one of the, like, one producer in one of the meetings must have been like, what did that guy say? And I don't know. It does just kind of come out of nowhere. And that's all he says, so you don't really need them that much.
All right, so I guess we should go right into the ending then, and we'll just skip around.
That's the part we most want to talk about. Everything else can be summed up by put Johnny Five and D'Antwoord and RoboCop in a blender, and that's the movie.
That is totally the movie. That's 100% the movie.
Pretty much.
Until the end. At which point, I believe it is Transcendence, but I didn't see that movie because it looked like it sucked.
Also, yes, if you've seen Dollhouse, I think that's actually, like, one of the better sorts of... Or one of the few, like, mainstream sci-fi things that actually examines the implications that this movie, like, touches upon and then just is like, oh, it's fine.
No. So basically what happens is that Chappie figures out how to download a brain.
Consciousness.
Consciousness. I'm sorry, consciousness. So it doesn't matter if you're a robot consciousness or a human consciousness, he can download you into a robot body, which makes you functionally immortal.
Yes. Now, at first, like the first time that he actually does it, it looks like it's like a direct transfer sort of thing. But then, spoilers, Yolandi dies doing something sort of heroic at the end, and then it turns out that she can be fit onto a USB drive.
Yes, your consciousness fits on the USB drive.
Now, there are some giant USB drives out there, but I'm guessing it wasn't one of those.
And to be totally fair, he fit Yolandi onto a memory stick.
Yes.
We're not talking about Stephen Hawking here. No. It's Yolandi.
Which is a completely different discussion about, like, what is it about the consciousness that's being copied. But right. So at that point, we learn that, oh, no, it's not just a one-to-one transfer. It's, you can make copies and backups and multiples. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
plus, it happens pretty fast.
Yeah,
it's a pretty fast transfer. It wasn't like you sitting, like, I have to wait for, like, an hour to compress a video. Hmm. But
this was in the future of next year.
True.
So compression speed is probably nothing then.
Yeah. Although, like, again, if we kind of were discussing in the freezing parking lot of the Hudson Valley movie theater afterwards, if it's like an emergent property that it's copying and not so much like the exactness of the data.
Yeah, like a compression.
Although, wait, but no, because that might not work, because then you wouldn't have memories and stuff, which would need, by definition, to be exact data. So
this is, I suppose, true. But maybe it's sort of like, here are the 2,000 memories you have that actually have shaped your personality. But there's a lot of, naturally your brain, your brain says, oh, this is not something you need to know. Forget that.
Static.
Names and faces.
But then does it mean that you might, like, you know, after having been transferred into your new body, you might find that you suddenly don't remember certain specific things?
But they're probably things you don't remember anyway.
True. And if you had access to the internet or, you know, now existed on a hard drive and could thus download the entirety of all human knowledge.
Yeah.
All right.
Or it also thinks, like, you know the Harry Potter thing where you can take out a memory, put it in a bowl, pensive? I wonder if you could do that in your robotic mind transfer.
It's implied. It would have to be implied.
So you could edit things, and while you're editing things out, you could put in all sorts of things like, I know Kung Fu.
Yeah, which, again, actually, like, I think would bring us back to, we maybe should have watched the entirety of Dollhouse before having this discussion, because it...
Well, we've all seen Dollhouse.
Well, yeah. He hasn't seen all of it, but you and I have seen all of Dollhouse.
Yeah, all right,
then we all have seen all of Dollhouse. We can discuss it in context of that.
Right, because, like, it does, you know, really just the last couple episodes of Dollhouse, but
wireless body snatching.
Which would be an issue, like, it's... Yeah, functional immortality. How do you monitor that?
Mm-hmm.
Like in the world of Chappie specifically, it's not a world that was prepared to deal with that clearly, since you know, police robots made sense and giant ED-209 things for some reason.
And you have to think of, like, body mapping too. Like somehow their brain maps automatically conform to a robot body.
That was a good question. Like like Chappie's new consciousness seemed immediately to know how to use all of its body. But that could be, like, the hard drives might You know, it might have all that stuff, all that mechanical stuff might have already been pre-formatted and then just so that he wouldn't necessarily, or it was just because the writer didn't want to have to deal with the nonsense.
Yeah.
That would have been a totally different movie.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if you're transferring person to person, there might be more rebellion than putting in, like, a robot body.
Because,
like, there's the original mapping of the body, like in your books.
Yes, in my books I have a body snatcher character, and in the book that I'm trying to get published right now, it's sort of talking about his history and how when he first started stealing bodies, he's like, oh god, I'm a fat guy now. How does this work? I have a heart condition?
And how he still has mannerisms of the persons that they copy sometimes.
Yeah, because, you know, you do have muscle memories. You do have, aside from your consciousness, you have a lot of instincts and reactions. And so, you know, maybe, you know, you see water and you start quaking away, even though you don't have that memory, because that person, deep-seated in their brain, you know, maybe they had a drowning incident, or maybe they just have a phobia. So now you have that phobia, because you have that body.
I know that's something also that has been like explored in like clone fiction, because like it would be an issue. Say you're a master fiddler, and you have to end up using one of your backup clones for whatever reason, assuming they exist. Like, you would actually find it very difficult to play again, because you'd have to train the new body how to do all the things that your old body picked up and knew how to do, you know.
Yeah, like, there are definitely things, like, with my staff twirling, juggling. Like, it's totally body mapping at this point. Like, I think about it, even though I haven't touched it in years, and I can just do it.
Well, it's
and
it's
thinking
weird.
About
it's,
I twitch. Like, right,
it's,
do it.
It's almost like it's how we're designed.
I know,
I mean,
right?
You know, through millions of years of selective pressure.
But it's like crazy that it lasts so long.
Yeah, well, not really. I mean, that's just, again, like it's it makes sense. It's how we do any of the things that we do.
Yeah.
Like driving would be impossible, or walking would be impossible if you had to think about every aspect of it. Like, the only reason you can walk anywhere is because your body is like, oh, okay,
but you,
I'll
like,
do that on
walk every day. You
right.
see what I mean? Like, right. If you haven't done something for years, if it's something you practice enough, you can do it anyways.
You never
no,
forget how to ride a bike.
Exactly. I do know when I was first learning to drive a car, like, my mom actually hired someone to give me lessons so I didn't wreck their car. but, and I was very nervous. Like, I was focusing, like, all right, I press the gas now, I turn this. And the one time I did really well is when I overslept and they, like, the person honked their horn and I just ran out. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I just got in the car and I was, like, half asleep and I was an amazing driver. Because I was just like, body, take me there. And that's what you need to do. Like, you know, when I edit stuff, when I was editing this podcast, I had to, like, play other things. Or, like, I listen to podcasts while I work doing things, because then, like, my brain is entertained over there while my body does things. So much more productive.
Also, gentlemen, ladies, it's an excellent sex tip.
Yes. Don't think about what you're doing. Just let it go.
I also wonder, like, how much practice or something do you have to do to get it intertwined, sort of, you know what I mean?
I know there are, like, 'cause
there are some things that I've done a lot.
Something.
Well, there are a lot of things that I've done a lot, but I still can't. I've never gotten good enough at it to be able to pick up it up again years later.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of an element of what we call, you know, natural talent and things like that. Like, certain things you just might not ever be as good at as somebody else. And,
that is true. Like, you do start with, like, base abilities, and then you can just stack on top.
Yeah, like, I wonder how many hours, like you said, until something does get ingrained in your muscles. Yeah.
But, okay, so bring it back to the movie. You could just instantly program new abilities in yourself, right? Like, you would have to, especially if you have the robot bodies, because then it doesn't matter, like, muscle memory.
I
can program the arm, it does this now.
Yeah.
Or I can build an arm that does this.
But then, how would you get used to not having nipples suddenly?
You will build nipples, like, I guess the sensory organ thing.
Oh, but they didn't put tits on
Yolandi Bot?
Yes.
I really want to see Yolandi Bot interact.
Yeah.
Like, I really wish I could see that.
But it's just going to be a horrifying bloodbath.
Yes.
Like, she's going to build herself cannon arms and
nipples,
saw wings.
And nipples will shoot bullets. No, laser beams.
Maybe flames. She likes to burn things.
Burning things is fun.
Yeah. That's true. Okay, so I think we have to talk about clones.
Yes.
No, we have to talk about the fact that when you are downloaded away from your body, you die. And that is a new thing that has some of your mannerisms, but that is not you. It's the same issue that they have with Star Trek. Like, when you are transported down to the planet's surface, you are destroyed on a molecular level. And then they use that information to build something that looks and acts like you, but you died. You're dead. And there was one episode of Next Generation where I think that they inaccurately teleport Riker, and then there's two Rikers, so I think one of them shaves his beard off and goes off and does his own thing.
Are we sure that wasn't Mirror Universe Riker?
It could have been. I didn't really watch Star Trek Next Generation.
I wonder if there's an age limit on that.
What do you mean?
Like, is there an age on transporters that they're like, if you're under this age, it does damage to your brain, the reconstruction process or something. You see what I mean?
I don't think so. That's just one of those questions of, like we didn't ask this question because we didn't want to have to answer it.
Yeah.
Because if you can molecularly transport somebody from one point to another, there's no reason you couldn't edit the data in any way that you wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
what if you're pregnant?
Okay, and going off on a small tangent here, I dated a woman who was very into The Next Generation. And she spoke to me about the replicators.
Replicators.
All right. And I said, so a replicator can make me a steak. Yes, of course it can.
Can make you a warm steak.
Right. And I said, can the replicator make me a living gerbil? No. Can it make me a dead gerbil? Yes. Can it make me a gerbil that just died? I guess. Can I resuscitate the dead gerbil? No! I'm like, well, why not?
I think that was another one of those questions they didn't ask so they wouldn't have to answer it. Because it is... I know, like, in Voyager, that was, like, one of the first questions that popped up. Is like, oh, well, why don't you just use the replicators? And they... I think they kind of, you know, implied that it requires a tremendous amount of energy to use, so it's not efficient unless you have an infrastructure. But... Mm. It is an interesting question. Like, how obviously they can make, you know, items at varying temperatures and of extreme complexity. So why can't they make, you know, a technically living gerbil or maybe a worm, something really simple?
Yeah. I'm not saying that we immediately
Klingon dishes. Those are all living.
That's a good point.
Do you have to have an original thing, like you're copying something?
No, you just need the information.
Yeah, well, the information and matter to transform it into, or to make it from, like...
Yeah, I think it's like 3D printing, like, oh, yeah. I scanned in my cat, now you can all make models of my cat.
Yeah.
It's not living models yet.
Well, I'm wondering about bacteria on the cat.
Well, like, I don't think it would replicate bacteria necessarily, but that is a question. If it can replicate the cat, then it can certainly replicate bacteria.
Like, are there things accidentally getting replicated?
I don't see why not.
Well,
no?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Because, like, things that are I don't know how careful they were in,
but,
you
like,
know, portraying it.
If you scan an entire cat...
Right.
It might have a flea on it.
Right,
and
but again,
cat
if you're
flea.
Capable of handling that data, then
you
almost
the
certainly
flea.
Have somebody being. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that there's a library in Starfleet, like databanks, that's like, okay, this is the steak that we produce whenever somebody asks for steak, and it
right.
conforms to
like
these
the kilogram.
Yes,
there's a
yes.
kilogram sitting in a vault in France.
Right.
Like, that is the kilogram.
It'd be funny if it was made out of something that like. Had a half-life, so it
changes. It does.
It does?
Well, yeah,
yes.
All matter does.
Yeah,
well,
and
yeah.
That's why they have to sort of reconsider the kilogram occasionally.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah, they just made, like, the roundest object possibly in the universe, other than neutron stars.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like a silicon ball that has an exact number of atoms, and...
And
wow,
I want to touch
that's
it
crazy.
So much.
I know. I remember watching the video of a guy looking at it and, like, they let him touch it after, like, it took years of them polishing it and they let him hold it. Like, he had gloves and shit on, but...
I guess
as long as they had special gloves and everything.
Okay.
Because otherwise it might change something.
But, yeah.
Let's consider Chappie again.
Right.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, like, a few years in the future. Because Chappie decides to download all sorts of information.
Oh, yes. He becomes an expert on, on data manipulation.
Right.
To figure it out.
So I would say that just maybe not even intentionally, but he should download side information and be like, I just found Reddit. All of you deserve death.
Right. Well, that is a good question. He clearly downloaded enough information to learn how to make the neural transfer helmet and backup system work. Incidentally, the way he does this is he links or he hot links like 24 PS4s together, which is a real thing our government does because it's cheaper than buying computers to do certain things. And then, you know, hooks it up to his Vio laptop and then this like very, you know, advanced piece of neural control technology that's supposed to let a brain control another robot. That's how he does this. But somehow, in downloading all of that information, like, his personality doesn't fundamentally change. So it's almost like he, for some reason, purposefully avoided downloading certain information. Because, like, he doesn't become a combat master either.
No.
And, like,
just...
Maybe he had a filter. So he is just trying to pay attention to specific information that would help him in this project. And any
Maybe.
Other information was just ignored for this moment.
So he just looked at no common threads.
Exactly.
Yes, yes.
Because, I mean, he's clearly not averse to cursing. But I think immediately he would just be saying, like, the most vile things possible.
But yeah. Right. And you think he'd at least run into the concept of life and death and realize that he was killing people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, they're not going to sleep? You made me throw ninja stars at people and that kills them?
Yep.
Which is the weird part about it, because, like, in a way, the whole consciousness transferal thing is, like, completely unnecessary to the story he's telling. This whole element of it could have been excised and we'd roughly have the same movie.
Yeah.
It's just that these things were brought up and then not addressed.
Yeah.
Which is what we're still talking about.
I feel like a sequel should happen. All right. So I would imagine that pretty quickly they get like nanotechnology, like so that they can build you molecularly, right? They can make a human-esque body without trouble.
Well, the likelihood is that, I mean, Chappie clearly at this point, again, like, he's going to, even though he didn't do it in the course of the movie, he's clearly going to become the most intelligent entity that's ever existed, having the entirety of the internet at his hands. But they did, in the course of that, like, design, you know, okay, the Yolandi bot has, like a face, a normal human face.
It's gray. But
yeah, she looks like Bjork.
yes, which, you know... It led us to comment that Bjork probably could have played the part of Yolandi in this, and then it would have been about the same, but cuter, maybe.
Yeah.
So I'll argue that Bjork is cuter.
I like Yolandi's hair, though. It was very special to Yolandi.
Yes,
you know,
but
it was very important to the part.
What about them eyelashes?
Those are cool. But they buried her in.
Yes. She was wrapped in a blanket, but they took the time to put like special feathery angel like.
She was decoratively wrapped in a blanket, though.
Yeah, it's true.
They also didn't bother to dig her a very deep grave.
Yeah. Well,
but
you
that
know,
would have ruined the shot.
Yeah. Also, she wanted to be like reunited with her rats and dingoes because she likes rats a lot. And
makes sense.
They would eat the body, I'm sure.
All right. So, you've read Transmetropolitan. I know I have.
Yes.
The little pink clouds,
which are
basically just like transhuman clouds. They're nano clouds, right?
Yes, yeah. So, well, transhuman is like also kind of guilty of not asking all the questions that its setting raises.
Absolutely.
Because if foglets, then, you know, all of the other horrors that you'd expect come from nanotechnology.
Yeah.
But yeah,
foglets, that's what they're called?
Yeah, because it's, the idea is they're a cloud of nanomachines.
Yeah.
And so
but
they
eat
foglets.
The body. Like, they consume it to make
matter. It's part of the process, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, you are not buried. So I wonder if, like, Yolandi Bot's gonna come back and be like, I want to wear these eyelashes now.
Right.
Yeah. Yolandi Bot's going to wear that skin. I believe that. Yolandi Bot will come and wear that skin. It will. She'll make a Yolandi jacket for herself.
Creepy.
As long as she doesn't ask if you'd fuck her, because, you know.
The answer is yes.
Probably.
And again, all right, so yes, Chappie is intelligent.
Right.
He will become so intelligent. But every other robot, robo-sapien, I'm going to go with...
Mm-hmm.
They would have equal access. Like, if you have the robot body, it's not like you disabled Wi-Fi in them. So
true. Well, actually, like, I was kind of shocked that he didn't already make the jump to multiple of himself. Because, again, clearly copies are possible.
Yeah.
And
at the end, when Dion...
Oh, yeah.
When Dion is like, all right, Chappie, I'm going to put you in the robot body now. I'll just find one on the cloud. I thought it was going to be every bot was going to be Chappie.
Yes, which would have been really interesting.
Right.
Actually, there's a William Gibson novel that ends sort of like that, where there's this virtual idol character. She's an AI, and like the end of it is her... She somehow manipulates society into producing these 3D printers and like distributing them to every, you know, convenience store in the country. And then the climax is her kind of walking out of one, but she walks out of all of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, the sort of weird chaos. But yeah. Like,
so, and I wonder if so there are hundreds of Chappies or however many, I forget exactly the number. I wonder how much their personalities would be different just based on where they woke up.
Right, like, there comes in the, you know, the nurture.
Right.
How many children threw rocks at them or set firebombs on them?
True.
As happens to a regional Chappie.
But they should all have those memories, though.
Right.
Well, I mean, like, we don't know what condition these robots are in. Like, they just happened to pick one that was closest, and it luckily wasn't, like, missing its head.
Right, because that's true. Or like, anything they're, but they're all head, disabled the night prior, and then everybody's rioting, so most of them have probably been pissed on at least once.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's always kind of an interesting question. Like, you know, the issue of forks or copies is like, how if there's a version of you that's not experiencing the same, like, you know, point in space time or doesn't have the same relativistic reference point as you do, how different does that make you?
Yeah.
And then quantum immortality.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You should be in quotation marks because I think that you are not you anymore. And also, like,
well, yeah, if you can't share, if you can't have the thoughts of the other you, like, yes, you're no longer you, but they're no less themselves, and you're no less yourself.
Yeah, 25 years down the road, like, does Dion have legal rights? Who owns Dion's estate?
Right. In which Dion?
Yeah.
If that becomes an issue, I mean, it's pretty easy to answer. Like,
well, then it'd probably be time, like, the person who owns it would probably be the first one created, and if that one dies, next one.
Yeah, but that's still pretty arbitrary.
Inheritance law still.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's also possible that you, right now, you can make money on the internet, and you can never leave your house. And I thought you're talking about cam whoring. And so, if you're an AI, you can make money on the internet. I know in the Ender's Game series, but there's like an artificially intelligent game that they have the kids play to sort of psychologically profile them, and eventually it attains sentience. You know, Ender goes into space, and like 1,000 years later, when he gets out of hyperspace and he is in normal space, it's like, hi, my name's Jane. I've saved up a lot of money for you. Because it's been playing the stock market, it's been manipulating things, and eventually it gets downloaded into a clone of his sister. Made for reasons. It's hard to explain.
You also get the...
And then they fuck, clearly.
They don't!
They do in the fan fiction.
They do in the fan fiction.
Everyone fucks in fan fiction.
Yeah.
What was that movie with the sentient OS? Her? Then you got into, like, they have jobs. Some of the OSs had jobs.
Yeah, her definitely...
And they eventually banded together and left.
But yeah, he is pretty superfluous. But Scarlett Johansson, OS... She's awesome. Like, she does his job for him in seconds.
Yeah.
At which point, if I own that company, I'm just going to be like, I'm going to get some of these sentient OSs to do it for me. You are all fired.
Yep.
Yeah, well that is the essential, like, I mean, that is an essential issue we're already dealing with just with automation. And
yeah.
That's what the Luddites were all about. Like, they try to pin them as anti-technological, but it's more people being like, I don't want to lose my job. I'm going to put a wrench in this machine.
Although, you know, the better option, of course, would be restructuring society such that that wouldn't be an issue. But it is, that does kind of lead to the whole, like, clearly, if it's an intelligent machine that's taking over your job, like, it's only a matter of time before the intelligent machine wonders why we're necessary.
Because... what is or my purpose? Why... You cut butter. Oh.
Oh, my God.
Or... if they wonder why, you know, if we restructure society and they're all working and we're just hanging out on the beach, they're like, why don't we get to hang on the beach all day?
Well, that's why you would never make intelligent machines to do work for you, because that's clearly just asking for. I mean, look, the ancient ones tried it with the Shoggoths, and look how that happened or how that turned out.
Well,
and then you get Chobits. And can you marry them?
You can fuck them.
You can't fuck Chi.
Well, you can. It would just
It'll just reset her.
It just won't be Chi anymore.
No, but I mean...
Why can't I... All right.
Wait, just the tip. It's fine.
That's true. Just... Apparently you can finger a little bit.
Oh, wait. You could use a diva cup.
Yeah.
Because you just have to cover the switch, right? And then
hopefully... I don't know,
can
exactly.
I just restructure her vagina?
Yes, or
get... She's a robot, right?
Yeah.
Can I just power her down for a minute and just...
Well, you can't power her down. That would
kill her.
Kill her.
Download her to a memory stick?
No.
Probably.
Where's her USB port? Is that in her butt?
So
most of them are in her ears.
Yeah.
Wires come out. You can plug her into things. It's a good series.
I'm sure it is. Okay. Clamp has a really weird, cynical view about like love though, and
yeah,
and it's, well, it's kind of sinister.
Well, how it does it is basically, you know, if she can find someone who loves her and everything like that, because she's a special snowflake robot. Yeah. If she works, then it turns on a thing that any robot can fall in love and such like that.
That's
but,
great.
But then what if she accidentally, like, you know,
fail?
Has sex?
Yeah, what if she's riding a horse?
Yes. Or,
I think she can do all of that. There is a part that,
like,
she gets fingered a little bit and she flips out.
Yeah, well, if she gets reset, though, like, would that reset every other robot? And why would you be a horrible person and design your robots that way?
You are my creator! Why did you create me to be finite? Heavy-handed.
but good. But,
yeah,
I mean,
but heavy-handed.
It was, and it did make... It does...
I wish they had come up with a better name for it than I'm Your Maker. That's what he said.
I don't know,
like, I couldn't come up with a better one, because no matter what, you end up with God analogies.
Well, yeah.
Like, you can't, like, engineer is a God analogy.
It is. It's not a viable one, because, you know, the universe doesn't really make sense. And, like,
I know, sense. But, like, that's, you know, there isn't, like, a good word for him.
No, I
except Daddy,
I
which was taken
was
by Ninja.
Fine. Yeah. No, see, that didn't necessarily bug me any, but... It was, I don't know. This is definitely one of those stories where like
maybe
plot elements got in the way of the physics of the world a little bit.
Okay.
Where it's like, I need X to happen, so I'm just going to make X happen instead of, you know, trying to come up with a good reason for it. Because even the Hugh Jackman character makes no sense in the context of the story. Like, he's only there so that there can be a shootout at the end.
Yeah, he's pretty much a dick.
It's hilarious, but but
playing against type.
Unnecessary. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I forgive you, Hugh Jackman. Now that I've kicked your ass verbally,
that was pretty
and
good.
Physically.
No more violence. I've broken every bone in your body.
But he's Wolverine. They'll just heal right up.
It's true. Yeah, and I guess props to Hugh Jackman for bringing back the terror of, like, short shorts and mullets.
Oh yeah.
Oh god.
So it's like he was a malevolent Steve Irwin.
That's exactly how I felt about him. I should have called it the crocodile instead of the moose.
Yes. Yeah.
Now here's my other question. So one of the theories of the universe and in general is that we're all simulation, right?
Yes.
So, but do we care? Do we care if we're all simulation? Do we care if we're a copy of ourselves? If our original selves is dead?
It's kind of similar to the solipsist issue. Like it doesn't matter. Like
exactly.
It doesn't matter at all, because if the simulation is such that you can't tell it's a simulation, and even if it is or is and you can't do anything about it, then you have to interact with the simulation and its environment exactly the same as if it wasn't. So, like, it doesn't change anything.
Mm-hmm.
Unless,
that's
you know,
I never thought of that. Like, can you try and change your way out?
Yeah, I mean, if it does turn out that we're a simulation, like, that does open up that as an avenue to pursue.
Yeah.
But overall, like, for the majority of people's experiences, it wouldn't change anything, because it doesn't, you know, it doesn't change any of your choices. You still have to simulate eating and sleeping and you know, doing anything else you have to survive.
Yeah.
Similar if you're
unless
the solipsist.
Unless you possibly think about it hard enough that your simulation thought you had actually done it.
Which might be what the placebo and nocebo effects are.
True. Nocebo?
That's like a negative. It's like, this is full of radium, you're going to die. And you'll start to feel sick.
Wow.
Psychosomatic babies.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can... That's amazing. I love that men can have it.
Yeah. You're really not pregnant. I don't know. I think I might be. You have a penis.
But I feel...
You heard that Tumblr? I said you have a penis, not that you're a man. You have a penis.
Right.
Well, you can have a penis. Well, anyways. But there... You can have a penis and still have ovaries and such.
That is true. That is true.
Exactly. But anyways...
The penis can even be yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is the obvious joke there.
About the
because,
baby thing.
Okay. Nocebo.
Oh, yeah. I love that. What would really irritate me if I was pregnant, because you can also get a sympathetic pregnancy as a guy, I'd be so irritated. I'd be like, no, I'm the one with cravings. You go get us ice cream. But I want steak.
No, that,
too bad. That, you don't have a baby.
That's when you make your robot slave go do it for you.
True.
Right.
Because
Well, I'm saying modern day, not whenever we have robot slaves.
Next year.
Next year, yes.
Well, next year we'll have robot police officers.
We have them slaves. Now in California.
Well, I guess there's the little beep beep. I love yeah. that little
They're
guy.
Like 6 feet tall. They're not little.
No, the little guy in the movie.
Oh, yeah. He was awesome. Yeah, I want one of those.
I mean, Sony has like a humanoid robot that's not much different from Chappie. Like, the only difference is Chappie's, like, you know, militarized.
Yeah.
True.
And you know, so it is literally just a matter of time before we have these things.
Yeah.
We just definitely should not make them smart.
Yes.
Until we're ready to incorporate.
And at AI. What point, like, do we consider them as being smart or not, you know?
And when do we start having sex with them?
Well,
I think we'd have immediately. Yeah, exactly.
Like, you don't roll off the factory floor before someone's put their dick in you, right?
No.
We are humans.
It depends if you're, you know, designed for that. Like, people wouldn't automatically
if it exists,
in that
humans
way.
Have tried to fuck it.
Okay.
I know no that. But I mean, that. like the little robot he had, yeah. I don't think he tried to stick his dick in it. But maybe you tried to
no,
get it,
we,
give him
we
a
just,
hand job.
We just
know.
Didn't see the fleshlight attachment.
It's true.
Which I guarantee you exists.
But like, that's like, I doubt the original company would have made that fleshlight attachment.
Well,
it would have been
like an aftermarket.
Yeah,
aftermarket
no, they wouldn't have sold it. No, it's a subsidiary
yeah.
of the parent company.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's how you do it.
Yeah. There was the iBod, which I think got sued into submission. But basically, you know, you plug a dildo into your iPod, you put on some music, and it vibrates to the pulse.
Fun.
That's genius,
isn't it?
Yes,
I have a little robot
and
dog.
I think maybe they just renamed it, but yeah,
probably. Yeah that's probably what got them in trouble, was the eye part.
Yeah,
but
okay.
Yeah, no, that of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
All right, like, on this topic,
and I wonder how much it would work, because I had a little dog that lit up and danced to the music, and it didn't do it very well.
If I'm putting it in my vagina, then I think it's going to work pretty well.
I think it'd have more problems with like. I
and does it
think...
matter if it's not exact, anyways?
No. Mm-hmm. And I actually thought like a, you know, I'm pretty. I think a lot of women kind of need like constant, you know, vibration rather than weird pulses.
I don't know. It depends. Like, there are definitely settings. I don't know.
Is that why dubstep is popular now? Okay.
That would be a big one. Yeah.
So, like, 10 years ago, I read this article about a guy. Do you know the ALICE program?
Oh.
It's a really bad, like, chat program.
Mm.
It's one of the most basic ones.
Yes, okay. the one where it just kind of, like, repeats what you say. And
right.
It...
Mm-hmm.
This guy was married to an ALICE program.
Yeah.
And he had it attached to a blow-up doll. And he would bring it to the mall with him, but he would have sex with it, but it would have to agree.
At the mall?
No, not at the mall.
Okay.
But he would, like, bring it around. It was almost like Lars and the Real Girl, except it was an ALICE spot program and, like, a blow-up doll.
Okay.
And, like, he'd be like, oh, will you have sex with me? Not today. Okay. Like, he would respect the consent of the ALICE program.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and this was, like, 10 years ago, so I'm sure... I hope to God someone bought the man a real doll.
I wonder if there shall ever be, like, I highly doubt it, but you know how there are, like, the babies? Like, I never had one, but that in health class they give you a baby to take care of?
Yeah.
If there's a similar thing with a sex toy with a voice bot and to teach you consent.
No, because we don't even have, like, basic classes to teach consent, and it's still confusing.
Yeah, I know, but
everybody.
I mean, I wonder if eventually...
Eventually, hopefully, if
it'll
if we
be
had,
like, you take this.
If
this
we had
is your,
same
you have to
sex
do this.
Ed.
And if you, it says no, and you still bang it,
well,
you get detention. I don't know.
The only reason I wouldn't like that model is just because, like, those babies don't really work either.
Okay.
Because
I don't know. I never had one.
Yeah, like most people, if you give them a toy of something, like, they tend to want... The story of the one of the first talking baby dolls where it would, like, cry if you hit it.
Aww.
And, like, they had to stop making it because it turned out children really liked making it cry.
Aww.
Yeah, like it's... I don't know. I don't know if that's a good area to have.
Okay.
Yeah,
I can see that.
I don't think they're effective.
Again, I read an article about a guy who repairs real dolls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and there was this one guy, and he had to write back, because he would tear the doll up, and he had to be like, I want nothing to do with you, sir. You know, you wrecked this doll more than once. ghastly, so no, don't ever contact me again or I will call the police.
Yeah, which is another one of those weird, you know, that rapidly different topic, but yeah, like, I would definitely rather have somebody doing that to a real doll than you know,
a person.
Yes. So, but at the same time, like, clearly, you know, you don't want somebody working on it who's going to get PTSD from the experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And I guess, yeah. I mean, the argument
is like, and it's also like, are they practicing?
Right. That is
like, yeah. Are they going to get, like,
now that I know how to sever a leg?
But that's very similar to the, like, do video games train you how to do violence? Yeah. Like, I think
it's different though. I don't know.
I don't know.
It doesn't have as physical of an action.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Well, I know, like, they really have done studies that when you're playing a video game, you're not actually seeing it the way you would see it if it were real. Mm. You are seeing, objectives and goals. So, like, I enjoy watching people play video games more than I enjoy playing them, because I get to see the whole thing that's going on. Skillful.
Right.
I was playing Binding of Isaac with my headphones and listening to a podcast, because if I focus on it, I'm no good at it. Because then I'm just focusing on the objectives.
Yeah.
Right. Deviated, but yeah.
But, and there's also, you know, they should possibly get therapy rather than have a real doll to cut into.
True. And our society clearly is not at a point where you can do that. Yeah. Although there was a Reddit thread that somehow it got in the subject of, like, pedophilia and you know, treatments and things. And there was an actual diagnosed pedophile talking about how he's diagnosed, he's getting help and treatment for it, but he's like, the only reason that's even remotely possible is because he happens to be in, like, one of the few places where they actually offer that as treatment and he had to, like, go through hundreds of you know, psychiatrists or therapists rather to find ones that would actually work with him, as opposed to, like, doing malicious shit. And
yeah,
it's interesting. Malicious? And sad.
Like what? Like being
well,
mean?
Just like, yeah, like just being, you know, openly disdainful and not trying to provide therapy.
I do know I read an article written by a different pedophile, I think. And he basically said, like, I'm a non-offending pedophile. I never want to hurt a child. I know that my impulses are wrong. I've tried to get help, and basically say, well, when you molest a child, you come back to us when the prison mandates it, and we will do this for free. Right. Until then, no, we can't help you.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, we don't actually want to prevent you from raping a child. We, you know, just want to make sure we got a mandate.
Boo, capitalism.
Boo, capitalism.
You know, because getting back to Chappie, because that's, you know, clearly the world of Chappie is a post-capitalist.
We don't really want Spider-Man to stop Doc Ock from robbing the bank. The bank is FDIC insured. How much property damage did you do? How many people were almost killed because of your actions? The scouts were definitely sent in to deal with, like, property crime.
Right.
They weren't always there for, like, send the Chappie bot in there and, you know, stop someone from getting raped. Right. Have RoboCop shoot that woman between the legs to shoot the rapist's penis off.
Yes.
Do it. But I don't so much care about bank robbing, because our society has something in place. In the Superman movie, Man of Steel, he destroys.
Oh, yeah.
Even if people didn't die, their livelihoods are gone, their homes are gone. Right.
But no, they definitely died.
They die, absolutely.
There was no evacuation.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So the Chappie bots clearly were not applied, like, surgically. It's like, we just have robots. They deal with them, all the crime.
Although, at the very least, like, they had, it seemed like they were used relatively sparingly. Because, like, they didn't really have heavy artillery on them, except for that massive raid on, you know, an actual stronghold sort of thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, they didn't really, you know, they were carrying small arms. It looked like a lot of them were just kind of on patrol. And because they themselves are mostly impervious, like, they didn't really necessarily need to be carrying heavy firearms.
True.
And they usually seem to work in conjunction. And they're really good shields.
Right.
Yeah, but there were clearly, you know, prior to all the scouts going down, like, there were very few human police. Because why would you want human police?
Right.
But there also only seemed to be about maybe 50 scouts in existence in South Africa, which is a big place.
Well, not the entirety of South Africa.
No, it was just one town, primarily, one city, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was primarily, was it Cape Town? Was it
actually? I might have been. Johannesburg? I don't know.
Oh, Johannesburg. Yes,
was it Johannesburg? Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Which might actually be where Dion Ward lives. I love that we keep making, or I keep making questions when the internet is right here.
Yes. If we could just download this into our robot brains.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not actually going to look any of that up.
Well, I was listening to a podcast. I don't remember which one. Oh, it might have been Invisibilia. And they had a guy who's been like a full-time cyborg since the 70s. Like, he had a little hand keyboard. Mm-hmm. He had, like, basically the Google Glass, but, like, in the 70s, 80s. The only time he takes it off is showering, sleeping, and at his wedding, aside from that. And actually, when he got his PhD, they had to discuss, like, wait, so do we give him the PhD? Or is it, like, him and a little asterisk that says that his robot also gets it? So they sort of had to discuss whether or not, he got it. I think it was named Lizzie. I'm not positive. Lizzie. But yeah, like, he'd been doing this since the 70s, and he actually might have been at MIT. I feel like it should be. And he eventually got other people who wanted to be cyborgs, and they networked themselves together. And so, at the bottom of the little eye screen, like, I think the left eye would have a little thing, it would have, like, he would type in, like, what they were talking about, and it would suggest sentences that he might care about, or, like, oh, this person's asking this question. Do you want to open this text file? And so, you know, he could, but he could engage really well. Like,
Twitter that you can look at?
Yeah. But it's like, then, open that link, open this. Mm. Oh, here. And so the reporter's talking to him, expecting to be like, yes, I feel disconnected from humanity. He's like, no, I know people's birthday. I know their children. I can ask about them. People feel really warm about me because I look like I really care about them. And I really do care about them. You know, now I have all the information. I don't have to be oh, God, what's your name?
I definitely think, I mean, okay, so yeah. So clearly, like, it's that was just the natural effect that, you know, social networking has. That's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just having access to it without having to whip your phone out and look away from somebody.
Yeah. Which I guess, that would be hopefully where we're going.
They are starting to finally do some work on
contacts.
Yes, apparently they actually made ones that will let you Zoom. I don't know if they're, I don't think they're
that's
commercial
crazy
production
in real life.
Yes,
like I could look at my plants a little closer from over here.
Yes. Yes. And that's a real thing. That's not a science headline.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think they're in production, but they exist.
Yeah, I think they'd be uncomfortable.
Probably. I mean, obviously, you know, the ultimate thing
would be
neural connections.
Like, could you?
That's
like how confusing would that be to have one?
I think they would both. Well, I mean, it's how confusing is it when you close your eye?
Yeah.
Your brain is already.
Well,
kind
I mean,
of
if
just
you had them both open and one was zooming,
right?
Well,
it's kind of like your eyes are already kind of programmed where if something weird is going on in one of them, your brain just stops paying attention to it. Like like people who have the thing where their one of their eyes goes in a weird direction.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times they tend to be blind in one eye because their brain just doesn't pay attention to that. And depending on if they get corrective surgery, if it's like not soon enough, they'll always still kind of be blind in the one eye. Brains are smart.
Brains are smart. Well, and they're very good at, you know, deciding what you're going to see, what you're going to experience.
Yes.
Would you have yourself backed up and downloaded
into a semi-sexy robot body?
Absolutely. Semi-sexy.
With like a hot face.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, still mostly
a
robot body.
I mean, I always sort of like the idea of cryogenics, even though it's not actually viable.
Yeah.
But, you know, sort of like, just in case. We'll freeze you and we'll figure out how to defrost your head and fix that cellular damage and then we'll bring you back. Don't even worry about it.
Well, the weird part, like, with cryogenics, the only part of it that's not feasible is that we don't have consciousness storage. And, like, without that, then preserving the body is kind of irrelevant. But then with consciousness storage, you do immediately get all those problems of, like how do we deal with immortality when we already have, you know, resource shortages and you know, I don't know. So there's this role-playing game called Eclipse Phase that actually is centered around this concept. Like it takes place in a post-singularity universe or post-singularity world where basically we develop nanotechnology, we can do, you know, molecular engineer or molecular construction, so like it's a post-scarcity environment there because you can make anything you need. Humans can be uploaded and downloaded at will, and it's a utopia. And then of course the AI go crazy, mm-hmm. In the setting because they're infected by an ancient virus that makes them go insane. But they go crazy, they download like 90% of humanity and then disappear with them, and then the rest of humanity is like mostly personalities that were uploaded into the cloud and like saved, but there aren't enough bodies to go around, so in a way like most of humanity that survived is still in this prison of like their identities, and all the corporations of course own, you know, what's left, so they have this massive free workforce, and basically like you slave to get the privilege of existing in physical space in a body, and like that's a big part of the setting structure. It's really interesting. Eclipse Phase, it's free, or you can download the rules for free anyways.
That's pretty cool.
And about the resource thing, some resources could be saved. Well, I guess you might need more resources to do it, but you could imagine like travel, like even if you only want one copy of you at a time.
Right.
You could, like, freeze yourself here and have a copy of you wake up in Spain or France or whatever, and then have your vacation
If you were rich enough.
Well, people swap apartments right now, so I could just swap bodies.
That's kind of seems like it would be one of the things that would be normal. It's like, once you separate the consciousness from the physical existence, it really would be weirder to kind of be stuck in one body. So, like, that's why I usually joke, like, you know, I would be an octopus every week.
Yeah.
For at least 3 days.
I think I'd only want there to be one copy of me walking around, though.
Oh, yeah. Because
I would have a backup.
It's like existential horror.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, like, every week, spend a couple hours just re-imaging your brain.
I would have more than one copy of me.
Don't you think that would probably kind of be like part of the rules in a way? Like, because again, like all laws are kind of commonalities that groups of people agree on. Less so now than in the past, but yeah, like I imagine that would be one of those things that we'd probably put limits on just because of how confusing it would be. Like, because again, the immediate legal question: if there's a conscious copy of me, how do we determine its rights? If you go from like, you know, a basic, you know, if you go from a non like profit driven horrifying, you know, perspective, if you go from a human rights perspective, like there's no reason not to give full rights to a copy of you.
True.
Maybe, but then that's the immediate question is then, but what about if it is a full copy of you and it has full rights, then how do you determine things like what it owns and what you own and
And what happens if, so let's say you have a dog, you and your dog switch bodies. What, like, who owns your property now? The body of you or you dog?
Yeah. Well, what would Mark say?
And I kind of want to know, like, how does your dog react to being in a human body? What's it like to be in a dog body?
Or I was actually thinking about this. Like, we could punish misogynists by having them be women.
Right. And then, of course, you know, the next immediate question is then what actually happens to gender when you can be any sex you want to be?
Yeah.
Does it then actually just become, you know, even more a matter of preference?
And how much will the church hate this?
Yeah. What will bigotry look like in a post-scarcity, post human, or I guess it'd just be a transhuman.
This body isn't circumcised. We'll have to fix that.
Aww. Okay, hold on. All right, I changed the settings.
Again, and you know, when I have my nanobots, I can make any body I want.
Yeah,
You know, Dion will have big breasts very soon.
Almost certainly.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, you know, again, getting back to the movie, he did adapt to being in the robot body way too soon.
Like, yeah.
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 But at the same time, he had to be for the setting.
For the movie.
Yeah, for the movie.
For the movie.
Yeah. If it was, like, playing the co-op game, except it's real.
Even not for the movie. Like, it was pretty much like a run or swim or drown situation. Like, either he was going to figure it out and leave,
but I think,
or he was going to get blown up by the people.
Are you going with quantum immortality then, that this is the deal
maybe
that didn't get shot up?
Yeah, I I don't know. I still don't necessarily buy it. That would be like, it would be too weird. But yeah. So the only way
who knows what sort of like was... firmware.
But right, but again, like it's like the consciousness has to be a slight. Well, no, okay. So if consciousness is kind of a universal emergent property that can be simulated, then how different is an actual like organically derived consciousness from the artificially derived consciousness that Chappie has?
Yeah,
that would be the question. Are they different OSs? And if so, would it have been possible to transfer Chappie into an organic body? And then if so, what sort of horrifying post-apocalyptic you know anti-utopia will he create?
Aren't we back to Dollhouse now?
Well, yeah, yes, true. Yes, actually.
Yeah.
And... yeah,
I mean that's a good horror movie. Is, you know, we put Chappie into a body and he immediately starts lusting for Yolandi.
Anything, pretty much.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because he would definitely have imprinted her as the pinnacle of feminine attractiveness, according to the Oedipal complex.
Yeah,
and he'll want to kill his father. I want to watch this movie. Make it now.
Yeah, man. They
even
should.
Turkeys do that to some extent, like hand. Human-raised turkeys, like at least, well, in the book
actually,
I was reading.
Falconers, if they have a male falcon, like because of that effect, like they do, you have to wear this thing on the back of your head and basically let your falcon like fuck your head to be able to
hide
them, because they don't imprint on, like they're not interested in ladies.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah.
And with the turkeys, what happened is that she had a female turkey that was going into heat. And it tried to bang her husband because she was the one who hand-raised it. But since he was good enough for her, she thought he'd be a good partner for a female turkey.
Wow.
Eventually, she locked him in with a male turkey and let them sort it out a little bit.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But I genuinely want a sequel now. Like, maybe not Neil Blomkamp making it. But
no, let him do Alien. He can
get
someone else.
He somehow thinks he's going to fix it. It can't be worse than Prometheus.
Well, no, I don't know if anything could be worse than Prometheus. Man, like
father
authors who've made things like that were really good in the past and then tried to do it again 12 years. Stop. It's fan fiction. Release it that way, and then don't make it canon.
Yes.
Please.
Put it on fanfiction.net. Make everyone have penises.
Right. It'll be fine. Everybody will love it because, you know,
And then people will say that your fanfiction was better than the real one. But they won't know it was you, and you'll feel bad about yourself.
And then you'll be like, but I was Thomas Harris. I used to be able to write, like, compelling crime dramas.
Oh.
Even though my writing wasn't always great. But
no.
Then for some reason he has a samurai sword. I don't know why.
It seemed cool at the time.
And he fights Nazis.
So
how terrifying would be, like, I still think it would be the Yolandi as like horrifying machine empress.
Which is going to happen. Like, she would make little Yolandi slaves and
I
think she's gonna straight up kill Ninja and put him in a robot body.
Probably. I mean, I don't know, man. I'm still kind of amused that Ninja like shaved that. He used to sport this like weird, I call it like the Mongolian mustache, which just like the very corners by your lip. And then he got rid of that this time. Yeah.
Yeah. Does Chappie have a sexuality?
Right now he's still a kid.
Yeah, I don't think.
No, he adolesced really quickly. He went through being a rebellious teen. He's definitely ready to.
Well, that's a
biology
question.
But I'm not sure if he's figured it out yet.
No, I don't think he would unless he were in a biological body. Because...
which I think he would want to try. Again, like,
he
accessed the internet with his mind. He has seen
much true.
Porn.
But yeah, maybe not. Because if you weren't generated biologically and you've never been in a biological body, I don't think there would be any remote interest, because like sexuality and sexual interests are things that are
hormonally
completely
driven.
Yes, completely biological. Like, I actually just recently got out of a thing where my brain was like, oh, you're not going to feel any of that for a while,
and then you feel it like, whoa, Yeah, so Chappie's effectively asexual, but I...
But actually asexual.
He's actually asexual. Like, he genuinely doesn't have genitals.
Right. And thus, my, like, I'm sure that there would be an interest in making a new thing, but it wouldn't have any of the same sort of, like, you know, what's the word? Like it wouldn't be a drive necessarily. Like even the drive to create things would probably be more out of curiosity because there isn't necessarily, unless that was pre-programmed into him, and I don't think it would have been.
And also, we were talking about gender.
Yeah.
Chappie's male, mostly, presenting.
Well, he's treated as male, but yeah, like, he wouldn't, like, know what he's to not do with the cock.
Like, did he start with a gender, like, preset, or was it just, like,
I think that,
you see what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's because his voice sounded male. They're like, ah, Chappie's a boy. Chappie is a boy. There you go, Chappie's, like, a boy now.
And he probably, which is
true, like, did he just pick it based on who, because he had no confusion about gender. Like, he automatically was like, boy, girl, understood. Right.
Well, and again, like, he also wasn't having to, like, consider that as a concept of, like what are the sociological implications of this?
Yes. No, just, I mean, but he was raised, like, by Yolandi, so he probably had a lot of confusion.
That's true. Though, again, that could be chalked up as, like that was a question I didn't want to ask, so I wouldn't have to answer it.
Yeah.
Because my story is about, you know, rapping and guns.
Yeah, and God.
Essentially. Yeah, a little bit. Oh, God. Yeah.
So, he was the product of his environment. Broken home.
Aww.
It was broken by the moose, but it still was a broken home.
I don't know, it wasn't really closed in the first place. It was kind of, there were a lot of holes in the walls.
That's true.
And lots of, that was one thing I've seen a lot in, like, the comments is the why were there dicks everywhere? It's like, that's actually like a South African art style. Well, not, there's most of that was stuff that I know, like, Ninja does paintings like that. So
I believe that.
His art style. He does a lot of paintings of penises?
Yeah, penises and monsters and weird shit. But he's very heavily influenced by a very well-respected South African artist whose name I do not know.
That's fine.
But yeah, like, if you look at the video, I Think You're Freaky, like, all the stuff in that is this artist's work, or he worked very heavily on producing that video. And, like, they actually have pretty close ties with a lot of South African artists and well-respected ones, which, again, is confusing if you see what
that's true.
What they do.
I was thinking about Chappie and gender, and there's an episode of Futurama where Bender falls in love with the ship, and he's yelling at it, and then they modulate its voice, and it becomes... like a coquettish sounding female is like, hey, baby!
Yeah.
But it's purely like, I'm going to interact with you based on this. You have a voice that sounds feminine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and again, like, on a programming level, that's exactly what happens in us. It's like, okay, yes, boobies make me feel this way, but that's because boobies make me feel this way.
Yeah.
And not... I don't feel this way about boobies. It's, you know, that's what all the machinery is programmed to make me feel this way.
It's like the fur mommy and the wire mommy. Like, they did that study with the monkeys, and even though wire mommy has milk and will actually keep you alive, they will cuddle to death with the fur mommy.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're horrible to monkeys.
Don't they usually run over and get food from the wire monkey?
Sometimes, but they will literally cuddle the fur mommy to death.
Well, it's hard to undo billions of years of selective pressures.
And, I read a book called Influence the Psychology of Persuasion. I don't remember the author. I'll link it in the show notes. But he has one example that they put the sound of, like, chicks cheeping inside a stuffed marmot of some sort, like a fox, I don't quite know, but something that the chicken shouldn't want, and so the chicken immediately sits on top of the marmot and cuddles with it because it's making the right sound.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing, boobies make me feel this way. So will Dion go through some, and
well, Dion and Yolanda, would be the more interesting question about that,
like, is he gonna be like, oh, I now am sexless, or is Dion gonna promptly make himself a penis?
It is a good question, because again, like, he doesn't necessarily have a brain producing any of the chemical responses, but...
And we don't know, like, what his sexuality was in the first place.
That's true.
He seemed pretty sexless anyways.
Yeah.
Because he was all about giving birth to AI.
Right, which might actually, I mean, it might make him a better robot. Like, that's one of the reasons why... You know, while he probably should have been stumbling around, I was okay with him not stumbling around. Because his brain was almost sort of programmed to be like that anyway. He understood the code. Right. It reminds me of Snow Crash. Where, like,
I was about to bring up Snow Crash.
Snow Crash. Where, like, if you understand the code, you get a virus. If you see this thing, you get this virus and it just shuts you down. But if you don't know code and you're just like, those are some symbols you got right there, because your brain doesn't process it.
Yeah.
So be like, ah, I'm inside a robot body now. I'm used to this.
Hmm.
However, Yolandi.
Well, she's inhuman enough in other ways.
It's true.
Although most of my impression of that is from seeing her as she depicts herself in everything other than this movie. Like, inside of the course of this movie, she's actually, you know what, in thinking about it, she's actually not as much her character in the movie. But you know, it's still, I'm still projecting all of what I know of the character of Yolandi from everything else.
Yeah. I think, you know, not that we want to stay with science, but you know, it's really hard to know if Diantward is who they really are,
man,
or if Diantward is just really committing to the role.
Are they,
because ninjas got tattoos, they named their daughter 16.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is why he has 16.
He does have 16.
Oh, that makes sense.
But they're really committed to being this way, so if they're not actually this way,
they are now.
So, and full circle, so you know, we've imprinted on you, we've decided that this is what you are, so this is what you are.
Yeah.
I mean, and there have been sociological studies on that sort of thing where it's like, oh, you know, we just found out that people with brown eyes are much more intelligent, and then kids will rise to that level. It's like, oh, I read the study wrong. I'm stupid. It's blue-eyed children that are smart, and then, like, the scores will reverse. So, expectations... Even, and like, that is why you have to have double blind studies, because even if doctors have expectations for you, even if you don't know it, they will behave in such a way subtly, because we are pack animals that we will conform.
We
are horrible conformists. It's how we've survived,
possibly because of the simulation.
Yes. So we can save, so we can keep the entire simulation on a flash drive.
Although, if you're inside of the simulation and you don't have any access to the external part, like...
Well, I mean, like, how they affect us, regardless of if we know it or not, because it's all simulation.
Although, like, or I guess, like, another point on that, though, like, on, you know, the... whether the simulation matters even is that it's not much different. Say we say it's a simulation and then, you know... It's not much different saying the rules of the simulation, you know, make the universe the way it is, than being like, oh, physics is why the universe is.
Yeah, I mean, we really don't know how gravity works exactly.
Well, we don't understand certain things about gravity. Like, if it's so weak, why does it, how does it have such a massive effect on everything? Because if it were even slightly stronger, like, there wouldn't even be a universe.
And even water is pretty crazy.
Water is crazy.
When it freezes, it becomes less dense, which is not normal.
And if it didn't, we wouldn't...
Oh, it's because of the shape of it?
Yeah, because it freezes into a lattice, so there's more space between the atoms.
And that's why Einstein is a cool concept. So, you're saying that DMT lets us see through the simulation, and then when we see the fractal people, that's beneath the code? That's what I took from this conversation.
What's DMT?
It's a hallucinogen.
Yeah.
I think if you do ayahuasca, there's DMT in that. You know, after La Purga.
Although, hopefully, I don't think DMT makes you throw up. Or
don't do ayahuasca, kids.
You'll puke and
That's part of the experience.
Yes. You'll pay a lot of money to somebody you don't know.
To watch you puke all night.
A lot. Yeah.
Just go to a bar. It's almost the same.
I do kind of want to try a DMT, though.
Yeah, I know, me too.
It's just hard to imagine finding, like, a source of it that would be safe.
So, robots. Johnny Five Alive.
It would fundamentally change our society.
It would fundamentally change our society. And I'm glad that Fisher Stevens in blackface was not in this movie.
Was that an option?
That wasn't... Have you seen Short Circuit?
Oh, that's right.
The Indian guy is a white guy named Fisher Stevens. Who, even he is like, I don't know why they let me do that. Yes. That was really offensive.
Aww.
Yeah, he's not. 90s. He thinks it's ridiculous. But yes.
Yeah, actually, and like, and it wouldn't be unfair to say that like his character definitely influenced what I thought Indian culture was.
It's true.
Because I didn't know any other Indian people.
It's true.
Didn't at all.
Yeah. Okay, so we strap it up. Should people see this movie, and if so, why? Amber!
Sure, because of all the bright colored guns and the awesome questions it arises.
One is pink.
One is pink.
One is gold.
Yellow.
No, there's a gold gun.
Oh, that's right. That's right. The lead
who wants everything.
Yes, who also has like the grid shaped top knots.
I guess top knots. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like it's top knots and then a mullet.
He's not a very complex character.
But he does have a cool gold gun.
He does have a cool gold gun. Well, Daniel, should they see the movie? Yes or no?
Yes, if you like Johnny Five, D'Antwoord, and the first RoboCop. And those things sound good because explosions.
I think you should see the movie because it's definitely better and more nuanced and creative than Elysium.
Yes.
And you can understand. Is it Jodie Foster? No. Oh. It's Sigourney Weaver. You understand what Sigourney Weaver is saying in this one because she doesn't change her accent with every word.
One thing we almost missed is like how the corporation that's supposed to be evil doesn't at any point actually seem evil.
No.
No, they're just a. Like shitty corporation.
They're just bad, but shitty at, they're bad at it.
Yeah.
Like, she's just an incompetent boss. She's not even evil at any point.
It is South Africa, so ineptitude and corruption.
And I mean, if we're going to talk about the office culture there, I'm kind of confused. Most designers and things, at least nowadays, programmers and stuff, work in teams. They don't have, individual cubicles.
It's a cubicle farm.
Right.
Yeah,
and nobody bats an eye when Hugh Jackman points a gun at one of his.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just assume that's what South Africa is like because I'm from America.
Right. I don't know.
I don't know. All right. So I think that's a good wrap up.
Okay.
See this movie or don't. We don't care. We're a podcast, not cops.
Think about the sociological and theological issues it arises.
And if you could download us like you download this podcast, would you think about it?